I would argue some of the most fun you could ever have requires $0. And when you're in those places, you're not having those thoughts because you're present.
If you realize that play is the foundation to supporting you so that you do have the energy to figure it out versus mm-hmm. being super attached to forcing things, then you're much more able to see more clearly without being emotionally reactive.
When we're in our deathbed, we're not going to be like, wow, I'm so glad that I grinded it out and I like hustled so hard for all the stuff I got. And I think that mindset is shifting, which is why we're talking about play right now.
It's consuming my energy and it drains me. And then it shows up in my day to day and it looks like a black cloud. And you're just like, this isn't how I want to show up. This isn't how I want to be. And that's always helped me realize that it's not even worth worrying about or like stressing out too much about it.
Why do you think so much business advice is like hustle, grind, discipline? Like, I feel that joy is not talked about a lot. I mean, there's definitely people who speak to that within business, but that's not usually the common business advice.
Welcome to the Fully Expressed podcast.
We're your hosts, Corinna
and Samantha.
And this is the show where we're inviting you into your fullest expression in life, love, and business.
Enjoy.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Fully Expressed podcast. On today's episode, Corinna and I are talking all about play, joy, fun, and money.
Because we all really need it right now. There's just so much going on in our world. Money is tight. I think most of us are going through hard things that we're not talking about. And our world is going through so much change. And so what's going to fuel us to get through that change? Joy,
creativity.
And that's what we talked about.
Yeah. Hope you enjoy. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. On today's episode, Corinna and I really wanted to talk about money, creativity, joy, and just pleasure.
I feel like our world really needs it right now.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we always need a really good reminder of like at the end of the day, the stress and the worry and the weight doesn't need to have that much weight. We can make it light.
Yeah. And I think we've been having so many discussions around finances or just the struggle that a lot of people are experiencing right now around money, around paying bills, around grocery prices, all these things. And, you know, that does lead to less money to use on what we would have deemed fun or buying more, whatever it is that used to bring us joy. And I think we've talked a lot about we've been doing a lot of things that don't require money, but that are still fun.
What are some, I would love to know, just like right off the bat, like where have you noticed that you would need more fun in your life or that you could add more fun in your life?
I mean, I actually feel like lately I have been making an attempt to have more fun. I think one of our our favorite thing, both of us, is to jump in the ocean. And I've been trying to do that several times a week, which feels so good because the ocean here is so warm right now. But I think always in business, I could have more fun.
Mm-hmm. How so?
You know, because my day job is jewelry, I feel that it's already a creative endeavor and it should be fun. But when it's a business and there's a lot of aspects to it, it's easy to get caught up in the parts of it that aren't necessarily the fun parts. And then I get stressed about those parts.
What are the parts that are not fun?
All the business stuff.
Like the admin?
The admin stuff, yeah. Yeah, admin and just like making decisions as someone who can still be indecisive of wanting to make the right decision about creative choices. I could definitely get caught up in that. And I feel that that sometimes holds me back. And if I just let go and have fun and trust, the answer would come more readily.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Well, I'm in a different season of life, but I think for me,
maybe there's somewhere else you feel like you want to cultivate more joy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in sales, so I love sales. I think there's moments of like, it could be like the same conversation over and over again. But then when I bring like a playful energy or like a really curious energy of how I want to get to know the other person, that feels more fun. Like, I just love that part.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're in the day to day of always being on phone calls and selling and getting to know people, like you could get into this robotic process of like, oh, just give me the answers versus just like really just being curious about the person and asking about life and asking about their kids and their family. Like, I think that's so much more fun to the sales process versus just following a script, for example. I'm trying to like think about other people's like scripts and stuff because there's a process to sales. There's a way to get what you want.
Yeah.
And there's such a fun way to go about it too. And I think I think about the people that you meet that are like incredible salespeople and they make you laugh and they're just having such a good time. You don't even realize that you're being sold to, you know? And I don't think that's like, maybe that's intentional or not, but I think that's just a part of their joyful energy.
Yeah.
And that would be what I would ultimately want to be like.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that too, because one of our friends asked me what my favorite part or what the most pleasurable or like satisfying part of my business is, both in our business and my personal business. And I realized in that question, people have been posing a lot of questions to me lately, but I realized in that question that it's the people, it's the relationship building, it's getting to see the end result when we help women or support women, mm-hmm. or when I give a piece of jewelry to someone and I know that that's going to be a part of their life and a part of their story, mm-hmm. and the energy, like the fun and joy that it brings in them. Like what we do and what I do brings so much joy, mm-hmm. and just seeing that reaction and that reflection is, I think, what the best part of business is to me, at least.
Totally. That makes me think of our events that we have. So one thing that Sam and I do really well, and people will say that like I keep us on structure and then Sam will flow in between, but mm-hmm. there's like moments throughout our events where we have to keep them on time. And I'm constantly like paying attention to like, are the girls having fun? Like, I'm not going to mm-hmm. turn that off. Or like, are they connecting? Are they not connecting? Mm-hmm. And so I like to create room in between our schedule of things so that we're not suffocating the fun out of it or the joy or like the natural energy that's there. And I think that's a great example of our lives, because I think so many of us are living in routine and we want to keep things moving along, but we have to leave a little bit of space for the relationship to build, the essence to move, the energy just to be there. Like if you're just having a good time, like it's okay if you're late to the next appointment, you know, or the next part of your day.
Yeah.
So think about that within Fully Express.
Yeah. I was thinking, is there a project you can think of we worked on where it's like we just had to get curious and have fun and go with the flow versus trying to, because I feel like you and I are really good at trusting the process and letting it unfold, because mm-hmm. I think it's really easy, especially when you're planning events, to be so detailed and kind of have a strict idea of how we want it to go. And I think we've gotten really good at trusting that it just flows. Like in, for example, in our last Rituals to Results event, you know, we were supposed to do a mastermind and all these things, but we ended up at a restaurant in the Soccer World Cup finals were on, you know, and that's what everyone wanted to do. And I asked, you know, I made sure that's what everyone wanted to do, and it ended up being perfect and everyone had a great time. So I think we're really good at that. But I'm curious if you can think of a specific example or even in your life.
No, I mean, that's a great example. Most recently, I mean, anytime you host events, it's so interesting, right? Because you want to deliver on what you promised them. Mm-hmm. And I still think about that because like as a business, like I want to deliver on what we said we were going to deliver on.
Yeah.
That's really important. And I think delivering doesn't have to get in the way of letting, like, I guess God and the intention of what's supposed to happen, happen.
Right.
And I think that's the essence. I learned that through my like trauma-informed somatic practitioner certification on like how to host retreats and how to hold spaces. And you can have an agenda all day, but like in those spaces, like people have their processes. Like you can't rush someone's process. Like someone's in the depth of a part of themselves. You can't rush that part to feel safe quickly.
Yeah.
And so that gave me so many lessons of like, there's so much more good in letting your process be, and also in connecting with other people, like letting the process unfold the way it's supposed to versus rushing it.
Yeah.
Or trying to have an agenda. Which is so counterintuitive to our life today, because I think we all have an agenda. Mm-hmm. And I think agendas are important too, because like there's like the other side of it that you're in business.
You can just be too much and then you have no discipline. Yeah.
Because I think about business, like Samantha Skelly said when she was on here, like her employees like, no, like you get 10 minutes with me and like what do you need? Mm. Right? Like get it done. And I think Samantha Skelly in that place is creating boundaries. I'm not going to speak for her, but like I'm assuming, I'll just speak for myself, but like it'd be like creating boundaries within my business so I can go play somewhere else.
Right.
So I think it's you finding the balance within your life as to like, where are the boundaries where if you come on the phone with me 10 minutes, like we're getting things done so I can move on.
Yeah.
Or are there other spaces where they're really set up for joy and fun?
Yeah.
In that way.
Why do you think so much business advice is like hustle, grind, discipline? Like I feel that joy is not talked about a lot. I mean, there's definitely people who speak to that within business, but that's not usually the common business advice that people get when they're becoming entrepreneurs. Or
I think because entrepreneurship is hard. Like, I think like people need discipline. Mm-hmm. Like there is a balance between like having fun and being disciplined. I think personally, like if we want to see something through, we got to commit to what we're going to say, but that doesn't mean you can't have fun around along the way. And I think we hear more like discipline, commitment, get things done, hustle, grind. I think that's coming from a place of people fearing that they're not going to get it done. But if you trust that you will and that you ultimately are still working towards the goal that you want, then it's a win-win.
Yeah.
But I think most – I also think we use that against ourselves to, like, hold ourselves back in some way. Or we like to punish ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, we like to be like, well, I didn't do the thing I was going to say I was going to do. It was supposed to be done faster.
Yeah.
So there's so much to that. But what do you think?
I mean, that has been a big lesson in my business is trusting the divine timing of everything, wanting something to be done and it's not flowing. And I try to – now I try to sit in that and listen to that. And I – even driving over here this morning, like I was thinking about different business decisions. And I think for me, when I go back to presence and play, the answers come more readily. But it's easy to get caught in the mind of trying to solve it and figure it out immediately. I mean, I think I hold a more spiritual perspective of none of it really matters anyways. And so, and I don't mean that from like a flippant way of like life doesn't matter, but I just think in the grand scheme of life, are these business, like when we're on our deathbed, we're not going to be like, wow, I'm so glad that I grinded it out and I like hustled so hard for all the stuff I got. And I think that mindset is shifting, which is why we're talking about play right now. But I do think that we are here to be creative beings and to bring creativity to fruition into a physical form. You do need discipline and structure and all those things. So yeah, I oscillate back and forth because there is a part of me that's like, is this going to matter to me in 40 years from now? Or it, like, what of this is going to matter? And I think if you can find joy and fun in it, you're going to remember that more than if you're just like working 45 hours a week to make something happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been reading this book right now on, well, it doesn't really matter. I'm reading this book and one of the advice he gives, it's relevant, I think, to all business, which is that like letting your fear take over is what stops us and it, like most often in decision making. But what he says is like the more you learn to control your emotional response to things, mm-hmm. the more you're able to be better at what he's speaking to. But I think it's relevant in all business. And I think when you can play and create, you can actually gain some of that emotional energy back. Because I think it's really easy, especially as entrepreneurs, to get frustrated and angry and fearful and want to give up and not move forward. And I think when we get into play and presence, we can bring some of our emotional awareness back and be silly. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm totally projecting this, or I'm upset about something that isn't relevant, or this doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I feel like there's so many different, I feel like they're like characters. There's different characters that you're like speaking to. Like the first thing I think about is like almost my parents. Like my parents are like almost the greatest, like my dad is like a great example of the guy that puts play first. And
he
then
he really does.
He plays first, but he knows because if he doesn't play first, then he, when I say play, surfing, pickleball, like being with his friends is such a big priority in his life. And if he doesn't do that, then he's so stressed at work and like attaches and becomes like so angry. But I do think he has the discipline to figuring it out and getting it done. And I think that's the balance. Mm-hmm. It's like having, creating space to play. Like the other person I think about is Imbal. She started doing tennis on Mondays and it has completely changed her life where that's a non-negotiable. No matter what she has to get done, she's still going to go play tennis on Mondays. And I think if you realize that play is the foundation to supporting you so that you do have the energy to figure it out versus being super attached to forcing things, then you're much more able to see more clearly without being emotionally reactive, like you said.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Like just that reflection of your dad, I think for a long time I thought, and I think this is a common thought that when you're starting a business, you have to be all in, you have to give it 45 hours a week. Like that's all you focus on. And I can honestly say from my personal experience, I've made far more money, including play in my life and friendship. Like friendship is everything to me. And as we know, friends are everything to me. But the more that I've prioritized my joy and creativity and friendship and things like that, or just going and taking an afternoon break and walking on the beach or going for a walk, I have brought in far more money than when I was just trying to initially like make it happen. Mm-hmm. So there is something to be said to that.
Absolutely. And I think there's also seasons too, like in business, like there's not, I don't want to call them like a grind season, but if you have like, for example, when we're hosting, creating like the podcast party, that's a big event that's going to take so much more energy than throughout the year.
Yeah.
So there's going to be sprints mm-hmm. where are going to be grinding a little bit because you have a deliverable to deliver yeah. on. But that doesn't mean you can't have room for play either in that. It's just maybe you are working a little longer than you usually do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like I'm assuming like getting a collection done, a commission done. And you're like, well, I have to deliver this by next week yes. before I go on my trip. And that happens to you all the time. And so you're grinding a little harder that week
yeah.
because you're trying to deliver on the commission. But that doesn't mean you didn't play like 2 weeks ago.
Totally. I think I keep that mindset is that it is just a short window of time. So I don't mind giving my all to something or like you said, to our podcast party or to whatever we're creating. Like if it, that also, I guess I feel fortunate because a lot of what we create is also creative. It's play. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't feel...
There's parts of it that feel mundane.
That's true. Okay. That's true. I'll give you
that. It is true. It's true. That you have to...
Yeah.
That you don't want to do or have to do.
That's true.
Or be an assistant, they would be doing it.
Also true. Which I have in neither of my businesses.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. The other thing I have realized too is like having people when you can, like really having people support you, giving energy away... Like giving, sorry, not your energy, but your tasks that maybe you're trying to hold on to because you think you do it best. Like, I think that's also great advice is really mm-hmm. outsourcing and not trying to do it all yourself, which I'm still learning, but.
You've done great.
Yeah.
In that. So how does this apply when you need to make money for your business? Not only the business or to just live. Because money is such a hot topic in our world today.
I come from the ultimate belief of being completely detached from money, personally. I think the more we want something, oftentimes the more we push it away. I try really hard not to say things are expensive. Like I've tried to say it's an investment I don't want to make or we've talked about this before, but it's like I'm going to buy the eggs, whether they're $15 or $8. So I might as well just buy them. Yeah, I don't know. I feel that I think because I hold the thing that it's all imaginary, money's imaginary. It's really just an energetic exchange. Like even when I don't have a lot of money in times of my life, like I don't know. I just trust that God will provide when you need it and every time it happens. So I think, yeah, you can't stress about, I mean, that's easier said than done. Obviously I have moments in my life where I'm stressing about certain things, but I try to bring myself back to the present through singing, dancing, playing, going to the beach. And then I'm like, oh, none of this really matters. What about for you?
I always trust that money is going to be fine.
Yeah.
I think like in my relationship specifically, they can be definitely where it's like, well, we don't have enough money, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it's coming. It's fine. But I think I grew up that with my parents. So like my parents really have that belief, like I will always figure it out. And yeah. money always comes what it's supposed to. And I have deep beliefs that like the more that I move towards, it's so funny, like the wedding, for example, somehow I figured out how to pay for it mm-hmm. at the time. Did I have the X amount of money sitting in the bank account? No. But did I save and work things and figure it out? And the money came and somehow I paid it off. Yes. You're like, yeah. What? How? And I don't think everyone needs to live that life, but it's really coming from the place of trust like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I also just try not to get super caught up. I also think it's hard because we grew up in California. And maybe we should talk about this to someone. I talk about this with Nick all the time because he's from Philly and from the East Coast and other places that are just like so much cheaper from rent to mm-hmm. food to gas to like everything. Everything here is just so much higher. And
had this conversation.
Yeah. And when I've talked about this with him my whole relationship, because this has always been like a two different extremes in our relationship just because of how we grew up
yeah.
differently. And I was like, I never even thought about money when I grew up in California. Like, it's just like, this were the prices. Like, to me, like, I've never seen $2 gas prices. What are you talking about? Like, I've lived here my whole life.
We drive over to Arizona. We're like,
like, I've never seen it under two. That's never happened unless... Yeah. I didn't grow up that way. So it's always been $3, $4, $5. Like maybe it was $3 in high school.
Yeah.
Now it's like $6 or $7. And sometimes it gets to $8. And you're like, okay, well, how am I going to get to where I need to get? I'm still going to get the gas anyways. So mm-hmm. I think living in California
changes your perception.
Perception for sure. And I can't take that away from people that are experiencing, yeah, you had gas prices at $1. And yeah. now $1.50 and now it's $5. Like, yeah, that could be jarring.
Yeah.
But I think the things that cost here cost more.
Yeah.
And I've always known that since the day I was been born. So now it's a lot more than that, but it's always been luxury.
Yeah.
Or if you want to call it expensive or an investment, an investment to live here.
Yeah, it's interesting because my parents, I mean, my mom grew up very, very poor, very, very poor. And her only goal in life was to become a millionaire. Like that's, which I think is a lot of boomers. That was that generation. And she did great for herself. But I, even growing up, like we didn't have a lot, but we were definitely middle class, you know, I'd say. And so I think because life in California has always been more, even though it's definitely more now, I almost feel like our nervous system's already accustomed to it. So it doesn't feel as jarring to pay, I think I paid $13 for eggs yesterday. And maybe they were $9 before, you know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. So it doesn't register the same, but I totally understand when people are from, like, I can't imagine paying $1,000 in rent and now you're double, you know, but you live in the Midwest. So mm-hmm. I just saw a statistic that said 30% of Americans are not paying their credit card bills or their mortgage. And a woman in the comments said she worked for one of the major banks and over 100,000 homes have not been paid, their mortgages have not been paid in 6 months. So I can't, you know, it's hard because I do speak from a place that you could say is privilege, I guess. But I also believe your mindset around money is everything too. And I see people that don't have a lot of money that have a more abundant mindset mm-hmm. and money keeps flowing into them, mm-hmm. into their life. And they are able to pay their bills and they are able to pay their mortgage. They're not millionaires maybe yet. But so it's such a tricky subject because I think it's so easy to be in a lack mindset. And to shift into an abundant mindset means you have to look for the mm-hmm. abundance around you, which is where I think play and creativity really helps because it brings you back in the present moment. And even in times where I've had like financial scarcity or fear around money and I go to the beach, I'm like, I have everything I could ever need. Like mm-hmm. I'm more well off than most of the world. And it's like even some of the poorest people here are more well off than most of the world, which is really wild to think about.
Mm-hmm. Part of what you were saying, like back to those people, I feel like, I think why we love entrepreneurship so much is because there's so much more control. But I think the average person is working a regular job, whether it is just like being a barista or being a cashier or working at Walmart or Target, or maybe you're in construction or, I mean, construction does pretty well. I mean, I'm just saying like, I think the average person has more day-to-day jobs, even like just being an accountant and working for a firm. Like, the hard part in our economy right now is that those jobs are not making more money.
No, absolutely.
But the rise in costs is increasing significantly.
Yeah.
And I think if we bring it back to play and creativity like you just did, just imagine for a second if you allowed yourself to play and create a business that can support you in addition to your current day job or an opportunity to make more money than you're making today, but it's going to require you to play and be more creative with your imagination on different ideas, because entrepreneurship and building a business, no matter what, requires you to be creative.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I can only speak for myself, but I pursue entrepreneurship for freedom 100%. I mean, yes, I love being able to decide how much money I want to reach for, but it's really not about that. It's about the ability to go on a walk at 1 p.m. or go take a Pilates class at 9 a.m. or, and I think, you know, there is a huge, it's hard because maybe we're in an echo chamber, but it does seem like there's a big shift in recognizing that capitalism isn't cutting it anymore. And this desire for more stuff is not bringing more happiness. Mm-hmm. And now that so many people are in survival, like we can't just go buy all the things we wanted to before. And it's not even satisfying us in the way that we thought it once was. And so I think the more you can come back to creativity and play and joy, the more you realize you don't really need as much as you might think you do mm-hmm. to be okay. And also, what if all of us stop paying our credit card bills? There's a part of me that's like, what are they going to do? I mean, the government doesn't pay their bills. We're trillions of dollars in debt. Like, why do they get to do it?
It's true.
You know, like they just went and bought a bunch of Japanese yen so that they can, because Japan holds our largest debt holders. So they're just bumping up the economy. I'm like, we're already in a recession, in my opinion, maybe even a depression. So I'm like, what if we just all were like, actually, no, we unsubscribe to this broken system.
We could.
That's the Aquarian rebel in me that's like, F the system.
That's very Sam.
Yeah.
Well, no, just a part of you.
A part of me. I also am still paying my bills, but
just
for now,
for the government to listen to it.
Yeah.
Someone from the IRS tunes in. All right. We got to check into Samantha Hollingsworth.
I pay all my taxes and bills and everything.
Everything I'm supposed to. I do think this is a great place to talk about like how play and creativity can be free and like it can be so simple. And, you know, even though you're not able to pay your mortgage, for example, or like things are tight with your credit card bills, like instead of drowning and swallowing in the fear and the worry of the stress of it, like I think we're saying like put on some music in your house and dance with your kids or go for a walk in nature and make it fun. Like collect flowers as you're going across the way. Or I saw this really cute reel the other day with a daughter where her mom put like tape around her hand and they made flower bracelets.
Cute.
And I was like, wow, that's so cute. You didn't spend any money.
Yeah.
All you did was grab tape from your office and they went on a walk and she just like collected different flowers and like stuck them to her bracelet. And then she came home with a flower bracelet. Mm-hmm. And like, there's so many ways to access that level of creativity that doesn't cost a lot of money. Other things of playing is just like board games and just scheduling board nights and game nights with your friends. Or, you know, we love to cook home cooked meals instead of going out all the time. Like, yeah, that's, same. I talk about Nick all the time. I was like, wow, we just bought everything organic for our friends and we spent like $60, which if we were to make this meal out, it would have cost us like to pay for everyone.
Yeah.
Would cost us $160, $200 for the five people we just had over. But we just paid $60 for this all organic meal. Like what? Like,
yeah.
So there's beautiful ways to give too. Like I love when my friends come over, like no one's paying me back. Mm-hmm. You know, no one's like saying, hey, so groceries were $100.
Yeah.
Let's split it. No, I'm like, I'll pay the $100. I'd love to do that. But that's also another beautiful way to create connection and laughter and fun. And it doesn't cost as much as going out. Like I think we think that we have to go out all the time, but there's really fun moments where you can just bring it home.
Yeah. And I just say like, there's going to be people listening, I'm sure, that's like, well, you don't understand, or you're in California, or you're this. And I would just challenge you to look within at your mindset, because there's enough, if you start researching science and quantum physics, there's enough evidence now to show that your belief systems create your reality outwardly. So if you're hearing this and you're getting triggered or you're feeling uncomfortable or you're like, oh, they just don't get it, you know, I would challenge you to just listen to the beliefs that come up, the thoughts that come up, because all that is operating in your subconscious. Mm-hmm. And when you're in play and you're doing board games or having fun with friends or you're in the present moment, I would argue some of the most fun you could ever have requires $0. And when you're in those places, you're not having those thoughts because you're present.
Totally. The other thing that has gotten me to switch my mindset in moments of worry, it's so exhausting and such a weight that I'm like, this isn't worth it. Why am I worrying so much? Like,
this is why I adopt a like, I don't care.
Yeah, but like, but I'm saying like, if you're in that place, because I've definitely been in that place where I'm worried about money or like I'm figuring it out or like, what are we going to do? Or I'm craving change, or like, when is money going to come in? Blah, blah, blah. Like I've had those thoughts. Like I'm not human. Like obviously.
Yeah, we all have. Of course.
We have them. But when I like sit with like how uncomfortable and how icky that feeling is, I'm just like, I don't want to feel like this. Like, why am I worrying so much? Why am I so scared? Mm-hmm. It's consuming my energy and it drains me. And then it shows up in my day to day and it looks like a black cloud. And you're just like, this isn't how I want to show up. This isn't how I want to be. And that's always helped me realize that it's not even worth worrying about or like stressing out too much about it.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to what you were speaking to earlier about control and how entrepreneurs love control. And really it's the illusion of control, because a lot of times we have no control, I would argue, of any of it except for our mindset. And so, yeah, I mean, I think the key and what we're speaking to is that creativity and play can pull you from that, can pull you back to the present. You know, it's not always like if you're feeling anxious about money, your first thought isn't, let me go meditate. Let me go do some breath work and sit in silence. It's probably like, I'm going to sit and spiral here for a couple hours. And so when you can put on music and dance or go for a walk outside without your phone or whatever brings joy for you, paint, play, all of that, like you said, be with your kids, you realize like, oh, in those moments, you're not worried because you're focused on the present moment. Mm-hmm. But it's practice for sure.
I mean, we're still human. Like, that's what we're saying at the end of the day. Like, we're still going to go through the ups and downs. We're still going to have moments of fear. Like, our nervous systems are going to respond. Like, all that is happening. It's just what we're trying to remind you guys to remember is, one, you get to choose how you really want to feel. Three, how much energy you want to give to the stress and the worry, because it's not supporting. It's just costing you. And then three, like, you can choose a mindset at the end of the day that is going to be like, this is all that matters and everything else will be okay.
How do you get yourself to that place of surrender when you're spiraling about something? Like, how do you get yourself out of it?
When it's not hormonal.
Yeah. When it's like a mindset thing, like in the past when you were stressed about money, how'd you get yourself out of that?
I think one thing that I've learned about me with money is like, not as much anymore, but before I used to like not really pay attention to money. So I wouldn't look at my bank accounts. I would just like, I didn't know how much I really had. And I actually have a pretty good net worth in general, but it's so funny. Like, I won't make as much one month and I'd be like, I have no money. What are you talking about? Right. And then I like take a second and I'm like, oh wait, I do have money. Like, it's there. Yeah. I have debt too, but I still have money coming in and I still have a credit card. And I also love to look at what I have around me. So like my home, my house, my dog, my relationship. And I think about all the memories I've created and that's where I find abundance. And I'm like, wait, I'm so wealthy. What are you talking about? Or I think about like my health. I'm like, I'm so healthy. Like, I have the privilege of buying supplements and eating organic. Like, that's wealth to me. So I focus on the things that give me abundance. And then that usually helps me on spiral. But I do personally, I do like to just take a look at my bank accounts and like everything that I've done in my life and be like, okay, cool. It's like almost like I need some people. How do I say this? If you're a coach, an entrepreneur, or a business owner, looking at your like customer testimonial. So like looking at history, looking at proof points that you're okay. Like, that has always gotten me out of a spiral. Mm-hmm. And then of course, like dancing and crying and talking to my friends. That helps me. What about you? Yeah.
Same. I think I used to stress about money way more in the past. And then I feel that the evidence always appeared that the money would come. Like, I would get a client or I would get a job opportunity when I was working in production. And I think definitely being in gratitude for what I already have. I actually spiraled, speaking of, the other morning for like 5 seconds. And I was taking it out on Austin. I'm like, we weren't living in this small place and blue, 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 blue. And then he's just like, we went on a hike at Torrey Pines yesterday and had the best day and jumped in the ocean. And it was beautiful. And we just couldn't stop talking about how grateful we were. And it does show you how quick the mind can turn on you. I will say it was because I started the day with social media, which is definitely actually one thing I stopped. I'm really trying hard not to do unless I have to post, and then I try to post and get off, because when I start the day in social media or anytime I'm consuming too much social media, all of a sudden my life isn't good enough and I'm comparing myself and I should be further. I should have more. And I have so much. I have more than I could ever want. And I love my life when I'm present and I'm grateful. I love my friends. And so in that situation, he just hugged me and he's like, stop, just stop. Like, this is silly. And it worked. I was just like, you're right. I'm freaking out for no reason. Like, we're perfect. This is great. We may be paying a mortgage on a tiny house, but that's fine. California. But yeah, I think definitely same, like really finding gratitude for what I have and pulling myself out of like recognizing that there isn't more to be had really that's necessary to be happy.
Yeah. Focus on what you got.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. We don't need more.
Yeah. More is an illusion. Really. I think about shopping because I used to have a really bad – I still love to shop, don't get me wrong. But I used to have a terrible shopping addiction in one way. And before, when I was 18, because my parents pushed me to go to college, like, they also supported me during those few years I was in college. And I remember having to have a conversation with them one day because the credit card bill was like slightly higher than it should have been, because I would just close my – I'd be like, I want it, and then buy it. And then I'd get it, and half the time I wouldn't even wear it because I realized it was about the desiring of more. And so I remember like having a money conversation with them. And they're like, no, this isn't working. You can't do that. And it really like kind of slapped me across the face of my habits. And now I still love to shop, but I'll just like leave things. I give myself permission to look, but I don't buy unless I'm sit with it for quite a while. But I think about that and I asked myself, what do I get from that process? Like, why do I think I need that thing? Because usually you get it. And yeah, sometimes when you really take your time and sit with it and then you receive it, it feels so good. And especially when you don't shop a lot and you get something you love, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm in love with this. But I started to ask myself, like, what am I receiving from this? And really it was that like instant gratification of I need more and I'm going to get it. And really when you're in the moment or you're in presence and joy, you don't need any of those things. And I find myself when I'm in my zone of genius and I'm in creativity and joy, I don't even want to shop. I don't care. I don't want any of it. Mm. So that's also been a big realization. And I think we want more because there's the perception that more will make us happy. And I also think that's shifting. I think really when our basic needs are met, I mean, there's a whole book about it. Like after a certain threshold and your basic needs are met, more doesn't actually make you happy. I've been thinking about this a lot when I think about millionaires and billionaires and trillionaires. And this is so interesting. This book I'm listening to, he's a trader on the stock market. I think a day trader. And he is talking about how he buys his summer clothes in the winter and he buys his winter clothes in the summer. And he went to the store and he bought a year's supply of detergent because it was on sale. He's a multi-millionaire. Like it was very, I was trying to like wrap my head around that. You know, he's like, we all love a bargain. We all love a discount. And it made me think about like what drives him to make more money even when he has so much. And maybe it is just he loves the thrill that you get from trading. Like, I can't speak to that. I haven't gotten to that part. But there is a part of me that wonders, like, does he feel like it's not enough? Like, he doesn't feel that safety yet. Like, I think about a billionaire and what drives them to want more, like, to have more, to want more, to think it's not enough. And I wonder if sometimes operating underneath is like, I'm not enough, and so I need to keep reaching for more. Because at $1 billion, I mean, you're talking about supporting 10 generations behind you. So I don't know. I've been thinking a lot more about the psychology of the men that like need more and what drives them to want more even after they've already received so much. And yeah, maybe there's multiple factors.
But I mean, I feel like that's a great interview. My first thought is maybe
we need to find a billionaire.
Yeah, we need to find a billionaire. But there's also billionaire women. Like there's women that are making really good money. And I think that's a really good question of what drives them. Like I think about, I can't wait to listen to like Emma Greed speak at Create and Cultivate, because she came from nothing and her book's really amazing.
Well, she did marry into money, but yes.
Yes. And, but she also like,
I mean, she does credit him like for
that, but she also she makes a lot of money and she's a great investor and she invests in women. And I wonder what the balance is in that. Cause in order to make money, also you make an impact, you know? So there is the balance of like, there's really good people too in this world that are making a lot of money and they're creating a really positive impact as well. And then you can ask the bigger question of like, okay, well, are you attached to making a bigger impact? Like you have to make more impact, more impact, more impact, more impact.
But then in the same turn, like I want to love her, but I'm also like, she created Skims and Skims is like horrible for the planet. And like they scored zero in proving that they don't use child labor. And I'm like, how does that play in? Like, how do you justify that in your mind that you're creating a company that's like mass consumption of plastic and like kids are possibly most probably making it, but then you're, I don't know. Like, this is where I struggle is like, what is the actual drive? Because if money is the drive.
Did she know about it?
I mean, how can you not?
But plastic was a bad thing in our world.
Maybe not about plastic, but you know about the labor. You know the factories you're hiring. I don't know. I just like, you know, there's a mindset out there that billionaires, like you don't need billionaires. Like that they're, it's always on the backs of, like they're making money on the backs of people below them, which I'm not here to argue yes or no to that. But I do think about this a lot because when you're like, I would love to talk to someone who's more altruistic or more like actually giving, because you're giving in some ways, but then you're just like ignoring this other part of your business that's actually detrimental to a lot of people.
Who's the guy, Patagonia?
Yeah, but also using plastic and polyester and you're still consuming, like you're still making more. I guess my question is like, how do you justify making more? Like we don't need more clothes actually at all. Like we don't need more clothes ever. We have enough clothes on the planet to never make clothes again.
I understand that, but that's a new concept that came up in the last like 5-10 years.
Yeah, true.
You know, so I think that's also difficult is like for a billionaire or for anyone's doing business in general, like they have the information they have in front of them, right?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you can make changes as you learn more through business. And that's difficult to do. And I don't think, I'm not trying to give people credit that, but I think as a business owner or as someone that is creating in the world, about like, am I doing good?
Yeah.
You only know as much as you know. And like the concept of clothing, like I hear you, and that's like a 5-10 year concept.
I feel it's hard because at the root of, I mean, we're going into another topic, but at the root of it is capitalism, and capitalism is destroying our planet and destroying people. So it's like, I think the only solution that would actually make the world a better place would be to not have capitalism, like to be in a completely different society. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what is happening, like what we're working towards. I don't know. Who knows?
I mean, but we're in the middle of change.
Yeah. I mean, that's the challenge, right? Is like, and that's also why I think so many people are in struggle mentally too, because they're trying to wrap their head around like, how do I survive and how do I continue? And what if I'm tired? Like, I think a lot of people are just tired and burnt out. Mm-hmm. And so they're realizing, it's like some people are realizing that they don't want to be a part of this capitalistic patriarchal society. But that's the hard part, is like all of this is in relation to that being the root of our society and how we operate.
And again, I feel like that's like a 10, 15, 20 year thing. Like the idea of capitalism, like there's been people that have like started that path and done that unraveling a long, long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I think now it's just getting louder.
Yeah.
And I think that's why everyone's asking themselves the bigger questions. And it's only getting louder because the economy is getting so high and because there's issues and because there's problems. And like when I think of systems and problems in business, like being a part of like a corporate company, like everyone's always just putting band-aids mm-hmm. on things. There is no like that's going back. That's there's no going back to the root cause or fixing things.
Yeah.
And that's a much bigger conversation about America. Like I think that's what we've done our entire history, is just like we've learned something, we've tried to fix it, but we put a band-aid on it. We don't go back and actually fix the root of the problem.
Yeah.
And then it's becoming this huge thing. But at the end of the day, like, do people really have the capacity to fix the root problem?
Yeah.
Like, that's like the biggest thing I have, is like no one has the energy or the desire to like, well, this, we created this issue 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So like, do we go back 20 years ago? How do we fix it? We have to get through like 20 years of history to fix that.
Yeah.
To change something. But I think people are trying.
Yeah, for sure. I think like Zach Bush says, it's really just a reflection of like our disconnection from Mother Nature.
Totally. And people are going back, but people have been going back for a while. They have. I mean, there's been hippies for a very long True. Time.
I feel, well, there's like, some arguments that the 70s actually were the revolution, and then
exactly.
they squashed it. But yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So like,
yeah,
people have known this. And I think it's just getting
cell phones then.
It's just getting louder because of everything else that America, the world
yeah, for
has
sure.
created.
It is kind of crazy. I was talking to Austin the other day. It's wild to be witnessing what's happening now and like thinking back to 3 years ago when we were talking about all this. And now it's actually here and it's happening. You're just like, holy shit, these things are getting wild. And Mount Etna just erupted, which was also a crazy prediction from a lot of people.
Yeah. So, I mean, all to say, to like bring this back to like the episode, is like, one, we're going through so much change. Yes. Two, like,
joy.
Yes, money is tight and things are changing, but our new way of doing things are coming through. And like, how are you going to survive this? Really is what we're talking about. And it's going to come back to, one, connecting with yourself, connecting with nature, connecting with your family, with your kids, just having a good time, because we're all going to have to ride the ride anyways, you know? We were just watching Paradise.
Oh, yeah. It's
and awesome. There's moments in there where they created joy in the middle of chaos. Like there was a scene in there where like they hadn't had Christmas in 3 years. So they decided to create Christmas because yeah. They knew that joy and happiness and something like opening presents
yeah.
was going to feed and fuel them to survive. And mm-hmm. ultimately that I think is what we're saying, no matter what your definition of survival is right now, like, you need to find joy. Ways to create joy and creativity and play to fuel you to fuel you to get through whatever this season is for you.
I actually loved the second season of Paradise too, speaking of, because it actually showed, I was worried that it was going to get super dark and pessimistic, and I thought the writers did such a great job of showing the complexities of being human, mm-hmm. but also that people can come together in the face of adversity. And that was really beautiful, because I think a lot of shows that are like apocalyptic tend to be on the negative side and everyone turns on each other and the dark, we see the darkest sides of humanity. But I actually am so hopeful that people really just deep down want the same things and can come together. And I thought that show did a really beautiful job. I mean, yes, there were things that happened that were on the sad side, darker side, but overall I felt like the message was people can help people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really the message of what's happening right now. And I think about our last episode where it was you and I talking about surrendering to change and surrendering to the unknown. And I still think we're in the unknown right now. And there's so many people scared, like you said, or in fear of what's going to happen and feeling out of control. And I do think that play and surrender and trust and joy and gratitude all bring you back to that place of just like being okay in the unknown.
Yeah.
And one more thing in the book I'm reading that I loved was he said you have, and I think even though he's speaking to like this particular way of business, I think it's relevant in life too, which is like start the new day every day as a new day instead of carrying with you yesterday. And I think in a lot of ways we are constantly carrying our past with us or carrying yesterday was a bad day, so today I'm bringing it here. And I think the more you can say, okay, it's a whole new day, a whole new possibility for me, anything's possible.
Totally.
Yeah. Any last words?
No.
Yeah.
It's a good conversation.
And we're here to have a conversation with you. You can message us in our DMs.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a lot of people are going through it.
Yeah. You're not alone. We're all going through it. We're going through it. Just in a different way.
Little do you guys know. We love you guys. Have a great day.
Bye. We hope you loved today's episode and that it sparked something in yourself on your journey to becoming more fully expressed.
Don't forget to check the show notes for all the details and resources from today's conversation. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review.
We'd love to hear your thoughts and takeaways as it really helps us to create better content that actually serves you.
This week, we invite you to show up even more as you, more honest, more real, more expressive in your life and business. And we'll see you on the next one.